Hallelujah. That's Psalm 3. That's David's declaration of his faith that brought peace to his heart and soul when his son had raised an army of his own countrymen and his own son was seeking to kill him. And David had to go and hide in the wilderness to keep from being killed at that time. And in that condition, not knowing what tomorrow would hold, but knowing who holds tomorrow, David composed Psalm 3. This was not some little trial, some little test, David. This was the kind of thing that looked like, to the natural eye, there is no way out for David. Amen. And not only did he have the military problem of the great military force that had been raised against him, but he had the emotional, mental problem of knowing it was his own son that had raised this army. And his own son wanted to kill his daddy. He was so drunk with the desire for power, he wanted to kill his father and take the kingdom for himself. And he had convinced a whole bunch of David's countrymen to follow him in this coup, this army that's going to overthrow the king that God appointed over Israel. And David has to flee to the wilderness. He has to flee to the wilderness. Little girl heard her Sunday school lesson on Lot and his wife and said they were told to flee. Lot's wife and was said Lot's wife was told to rise up. And so Lot and his wife did flee the city. Lot and his wife fled anyway. I can't tell it right. Forget that one. We'll tell it later. Let me get into the meat of this thing today. Anyway, they were told to flee, and the little girl said, I understand what happened to Lot's wife, but what happened to the flee? Anyway, she didn't get that right. She just saw the word flee. Amen. Amen. Flee. Run. 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 David had to run. I want you to think about this. This hyper faith says that you never get in a defensive position like that. You know, you never do that. But there were some men that decided they were going to kill Paul, and Paul got wind of it. They said they wouldn't eat or drink. We won't drink water, and we won't eat a meal till he's dead. And he could have walked out there, you know, because he's a hyper faith man. He could have walked out there and said, sticks and stones may break my bone, but words will never hurt me. I'm a servant of the Most High God, and I'm not afraid of you. Well, you can do that if you think you've got the, if it's just a matter of faith. But, folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you know somebody's waiting outside to kill you, there's a back door right through there. If somebody's out there with a gun calling you out, I would strongly suggest that you go out the back door and call the popo. Let them handle it. They get paid to do it. Now, if they come in here, just trust God. But you can go out the back door. If a snake worshiper, not snake worshiper, but a handler comes in the front door with a snake, we'll evacuate the building until we can get him out of here. Yeah, if there ain't no door, she said, where do you want one? We'll make ourselves a door. Can you say amen? They let him down over a wall in a basket. He knew they were waiting to kill him. Why go out there? See, the devil told Jesus, if you're really who you say you are, why don't you jump off this high place? Didn't the Bible say angels will bear you up? He said, yeah, and it also says thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So all of this has to be balanced. You don't pull. The devil is a quoter of Scripture. And there's a difference between faith and presumption. Faith puts your trust in God, not in your faith. So you don't jump out there and expose yourself to danger to prove your faith. But when danger comes, you put your trust in God. And he becomes your defender. Listen to Psalm 3. Do you understand David's circumstance? His countrymen have risen up to follow his son who wants to kill him and take the kingdom. And this is what David said, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. This is a different kind of battle when you're fighting against your own family, not just some Philistine giant. David had no problem, did he, slaying a Philistine giant? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? You see his confidence? But when your heart is broken, torn in a thousand pieces because your own flesh and blood and your own countrymen want to kill you and take your kingdom. He's got two giants. He don't just have a giant. See, it's not just the anointing. It was the anointing. He was aware of the anointing, just the power of God. But here, he's not just talking about the anointing and its power, but the person. I'll tell you, when your heart's broken along with your trial, it takes more than power. You need the person. The person. The person who can give you peace. The person who can pour oil and wine in that wound. The person who can come alongside you and lift you up. Too many Pentecostals in particular, and I'm Pentecostal from the head to the foot and all in between. Can you say amen? Listen carefully. Too many are over dependent on the power that the anointing gives and under dependent on the person that they're supposed to be looking to. And because they sense the power, they feel like they can do anything. They don't have to watch themselves like we have to watch ourselves because of such a holy, heavy anointing. Samson made that crucial mistake, assuming through presumption that the power would come on him when he had already begun to drift away from the person who granted that power. And we know how he ended up. And before you make him some grand hero that you want to emulate, I want you to know that he died not the death of the righteous. He did not die the death of a righteous man. There was no victory for Samson. You know why he got his eyes plucked out? Because he let his eyes wander lustfully. He had power to kill a lion, but he didn't have strength in the inward man to overcome the devil when he come as a roaring lion to tempt him. And that power that comes upon us is not the same as that God places within us by the Holy Spirit. It's different. When he comes on you, it's different from when he rises up within you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. A king shall come to Zion. When did the king come? Amen. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem foreshadowed that he would be the and upon his cross, they didn't want him to put it, but they nailed it up there anyway. Amen. King of the Jews. Amen. He's not only King of the Jews, he's King of Kings. And he's Lord of Lords. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully. I got to read this. We won't get it read. Are you ready to read Psalm 3? Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield. Say it with me. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to the Lord, and thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Thy blessing is upon thy people, and part of that blessing in particular here in Psalm 3 is God's promise to defend his people from the enemy. When the enemy comes in like a flood, Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against them. So where was David's focus? On his faith? On his anointing? Where was it then? It's on his God. Hyper faith people, and they're all over the place because they're really wanting the glory given to their faith for what they have accomplished instead of their God. And it's a deception of the enemy. Because you think if you just go to church, a word church. Well, if the Bible is taught, every church is a word church. But now it has come to represent, I'm in the Word. I built my faith to this grand level. And whatever I say, they even wrote a song. It got to the point they wrote a song. What you say is what you get. As if God is obligated, if you build your faith strong enough, whatever you say you're going to get, regardless of His will, His purpose, well, who gets the glory for giving it to you? When they went into the land that flowed with milk and honey and crossed over Jordan, they were given a warning that America needs to heed because we've lost that warning. He said, I'm going to bless you and bring you in a land that flows with milk and honey. And when you get in there and you eat until you're about to burst and you build grand houses and you have all of these blessings and you have great flocks and herds and you dig ore out of those mountains, beware lest you forget the Lord thy God in keeping His commandments and you say in your heart, mine hand hath gotten me these things. My hand hath gotten me these things. My ingenuity, my energy, my intelligence, my industrialness, my hand hath gotten me, instead of God has blessed us with these things. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me closely. When you say my faith did it, instead of my God did it, because your faith is in Him, it's real close to saying my hand. The flesh wants the glory for the accomplishment instead of giving it to God. Amen. One hyper faith preacher was approached for the name it and claim it attitude that's out there and been trying to incorporate into this gospel. And he said, they call us name it, grab it. He said, we named it, we grabbed it, and because he has several airplanes and four churches got together for his birthday and gave him $3 million on top of his already multimillionaire status, he said, and bless God, we got it. He's got it. But did God give it to him? Or did people who want to be in that place of power and accumulate that kind of wealth, did they send it in? I guarantee double T you. You put him out here on a line crew like I used to be on when I was working for Tampa Electric, he wouldn't know his head from a hole in the ground. You put him behind a Georgia mule, I know he wouldn't know what to do. Can you say, man? Come on. Somebody had to plow that ground. Somebody had to dig them taters. Somebody had to raise those cattle. He wouldn't know what to do if he had to earn a living other than just telling people how to get rich and have them send him the money. Amen? Be careful of a faith message that puts you in control. Thou, O Lord. Thou, O Lord. It'll never change because God changes not. Amen. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. I'm so glad that I understand the shield of faith by looking at the shield in the old covenant so I can better understand the new covenant. We're the ones that put faith on the top shelf. God put love on the top shelf. Thank you for the hearty amens. I'm sorry. Follow after faith, hope, and love, these three. What did he put on top shelf? Love. How did faith bump love out for the top shelf? Can you say, man? How did it do it when God didn't do it and God's word doesn't confirm it? Because the flesh, they that are of the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. But they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. They can make enough money to buy a multi-million dollar mansion and a vacation home that's worth millions of dollars. They can fly in a personal jet anywhere they want to go. But they cannot cast out a demon. They cannot dethrone the devil. Can you say amen? They can build a huge building that'll knock your eye out, but they can't kick the devil out. Can you say amen? Why? Because they that are of the flesh do not have spiritual authority. They have what power and fame and money can give, but they don't have what only God can grant. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, you can't hold up your checkbook. You can't appease him by buying him off. One of the biggest blights in the Pentecostal movement today is people wanting to have control instead of depend exclusively on God. There is a message that puts you in the driver's seat. You can have whatever you say. And God, if you build your faith strong enough, he's obligated to give you whatever you say. Oh, God is not obligated to give you what you want. God is obligated to give you what he wills. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And let me tell you something about biblical faith. Faith does not cause or make God do anything. Faith allows. Faith permits the predetermined will of God to be done. The first step in faith is discover the will of God through absolute surrender. Two patty cakes. We're waiting for the rest of you to catch up. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And what did he say? Pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. 1 John says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, because if you're just trying to get what you want, he don't even listen. Because self-will. You have not because you ask not. God is not your source, James said. And you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. To do what with it? What most people do with what they want. Consume it on yourself. It's for me. It's not for you. I have no consideration of what will bring you the most glory. It's what it will make me the most satisfied down here. Coming back from a revival meeting when I was a very young Christian. Some other people, this young lady was in a car with them, and came back, and the minister that night had preached on the soon coming of Jesus. Here was a brand new Christian. And see, the thing is, I understand it from a brand new Christian. But I don't understand it from somebody that's been preaching for years and is writing books and is on television telling other people how to be spiritual. If you're a baby, I expect a baby to talk baby talk. And Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I spake like a child. But when I became a man, when I grew up spiritually, I put away. That meant I began to think differently. And the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So I began to speak differently. Can you say amen? When I grew up, getting your own way is not growing up. Getting what you think God wants is not growing up. Having no concern about what he wills. Oh, I love to surrender to the point to discover his will, because then my confidence rises. If God wants it and I pray it, then I don't have any doubt in my heart that it's going to happen. Can you? It's not because you talk to the mountain with such big faith. It's because you know God wants the mountain moved. And when you know God wants the mountain moved that stands in the way of His will, and you know what His will is, then you can say to the mountain, "Be thou removed and cast into the midst of the sea." And if you don't doubt that what you say, it's not just building your faith to get your way. It's knowing His will and declaring it. Hallelujah. Amen. Doubt not in your heart. I remember R.W. Shambach one time years ago when he was in the tent meeting. He needed a headquarter building, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "I want you to have that building right there in this city. Walk around it 7 times like Joshua walked around Jericho and claim it." And he walked around it 7 times and claimed it. Amen. And within 6 months, that building was given to him, or he raised the money to buy it. Another man heard the testimony, decided, "I want that building for my headquarters." He walked around it 7 times, did the same thing, and it didn't happen. And now he's wondering why God didn't give it to him. And so he wrote Shambach a letter and said, "Why did God give it to you? And I did what you did, and I know I got strong faith." He said, "Because God told me to do it. I didn't just do it by faith. I did it in obedience to what the Lord spoke to me." Now, I don't know if he stayed on track or not. I don't know what happened to R.W. He's probably with the Lord now, but he is with the Lord. But I remember back in the tent days, and the power of God was present. I remember that story because it illustrates God has a will. God has a will for you. And if you're wanting your way and building your faith to get your way, you're a sad sack this morning. You know why? Because God ain't going to let you have your way. He's a good heavenly Father. Amen. When you were 8 years old, you probably thought you could drive a car. I'm glad your daddy and mama didn't let you drive the car. Especially if I'm going to get on the road that you're driving on. If you ask the 8-year-old, "Can you handle it?" They say, "Man, just give me something, strap it onto my shoes so I can push the pedal." I would strongly suggest if you're 6-year-old wants a shotgun, that you don't buy him one. He ain't ready for that kind of power. Fact is, most of us ain't ready for that kind of power. So here we are in this hyper faith generation. We're believing God. We're taught to believe God for everything we want. But we're not taught to bow before God so His will can be done. Sometimes people get what they want, but they don't want what they get. Israel looked at every other nation. They had their prophets, and God was leading them, blessing them, delivering them, defending them. And they said, "We want what they got. They got a king. We want a king sitting on a throne." And they kept saying it, and "We want it, we 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 want it." And God said, "Okay, you ain't satisfied with me taking care of you, me defending you, me blessing you, me leading you. You want a person sitting on that throne that you can see. All right, you're going to get a king. His name is Nebuchadnezzar." And when he hit them with that chastisement for their bad attitude, their selfishness and self-will, they didn't want to hear it. I can see this morning a lot of people don't want to hear it either. You're giving away your attitude. You've got tapes at home. I'm very sorry for you. You spent a lot for them. They tell you how to chart your own course. I know the evangelist that put them out there. I know the background where he got it from. You can trace it back, and it don't go back to the apostles and the prophets. Though scripture is used, it is not in context. And it will put you in control if you just build your faith high enough. But there is no rest. There is no rest. there is no peace. There's no true power. Can you say amen? But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're my glory. There's rest and peace and power. Praise God. David said there's such rest and peace and power in that, though the 10,000 people are surrounding me, I can lay my head down. I can sleep, and when and I won't be killed while I'm sleeping. I don't have to walk the floor. Amen. Listen, except the Lord, it's always the Lord, isn't it? It's always God. It's, oh, come on. Except the Lord keep the city. Except the Lord be the defender. Amen. They that wake, they wake in vain. They that watch, watch in vain. Except the Lord build the house. Except He establish it. Can you say amen? They that watch, watch in vain. They that wake, wake in vain. They that work, work in vain. It's all in vain unless God gets involved. But when God gets involved, the Lord is a shield for me. He's my glory. And He is the lifter of my head. David came out of the wilderness. Absalom was judged, and Absalom was killed, not by David, but by his own pride. His army was scattered, and David remained where God had placed him because God defended him. And he said, you know, the shield of faith is God defending. I love what it says in Hebrews 11, that faith chapter. It said, through faith, out of weakness, they were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight, and put to flight the armies of the aliens. Out of weakness, they were made strong. Praise God. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, bringing glory to who? To God. Sarah, being the past the age of childbearing, received strength to conceive and bring forth a child because she just believed, God bless God. No, she couldn't hardly handle it. Amen? What did they name the child? What happened when she said, you know, these two angels come by and Abraham invites them to eat with him on their way to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And they said, Abraham, got good news for you. The pity, pity patter of little bitty feet's going to pity, pity patter at your house. You're going to have a child. He's 100 years old. And even if there was Viagra back then, it was too late. Amen? Come on, you see the commercial every day. You can't help it. It's outselling aspirin. Amen? You don't know what's happening outside in the real world? It ain't going to help you. Oh, your wife. She's 90. And she was barren when she was 19. She never could have children. Her womb is dead. She's got a double negative to have a child. And here these angels said, it's time to keep my covenant. You and your wife are going to have a child. And when Sarah heard it, she went, oi, oi. And the angel said, don't you laugh when God makes a promise and says He's ready to keep it. And it sobered her up. And it said, Sarah received strength to conceive and bring forth a son, being past the age of childbearing, because she stood in great faith. No, because she considered Him faithful that had promised. Can you say amen? Well, it's a little better than a patty cake. It's nowhere near what they give Elton John. Come on, it isn't. We want the driver's seat. The flesh wants to tell God. There's even a teaching, and here it is. Listen to it carefully. I'm going to get you into this rest and peace so you can come in with the same joy he exhibited when we talked about that Jaguar. Faith that puts you in control is not biblical faith. Before you believe, you bow. And that's why the Bible said, here's how you're to pray. Every prayer filled with faith, here's how you're to pray. Teach us to pray. And he said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, acknowledge that you have a paternal relationship with God. You've been accepted in the Beloved. You're part of the royal family. And the God of the universe has become your heavenly Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed. He may be your daddy, but he's not your old man. Reverence him. Can you say amen? Hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. What do you do before you believe? Hallowed be thy name. And then in this place of surrender and reverence for God and consideration for his will, thy kingdom come. Someone said you can't pray his kingdom come till you pray my kingdom go. Can you say amen? Whose will be done? Thy will be done. Aren't you glad that Jesus in Gethsemane, aren't you glad he demonstrated that personally? Aren't you glad he said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless... Hallelujah. Not what I will, but what you will be done. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And when you pray then in the will of God, the Bible said when he had offered up that prayer, angels came. When you set yourself to let the will of God be done, all of heaven's resources, amen, will come to you. The strength, the grace, the peace will come to you. If you're trying to get your way, you're frustrated, you're doubting God, and just before accusing him of unfaithfulness. But if you're praying about his will, if you want his will, if you bow to his will, if you discover his will, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will... He heareth us. And if we know he hears us, we know that we have the petition we've desired of him. And if you know you got it, you're not trying to get it anymore. You're thanking him for it. Can you say amen? Until he brings it to pass. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. When you think of the shield of faith, think of God defending you. Put your trust in the God who defends you. Because faith in your faith, if your faith wavers, will fail you. But there's a God who said, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. I will go with you even to the end. And a God who says it's not the measure of your faith. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. Faith in God is the quality of faith. So it doesn't take great faith. If you had faith in quality as a grain of mustard seed. Because see, it's faith in God. It's not a mountain of trouble, a mountain of difficulties, a mountain of enemies. This mountain, a mustard seed. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed and you put it in God and discover his will and pray accordingly. You could say to this mountain, you think you need a mountain of faith to tell the mountain to move and believe it's going to. But if you know the will of God and you know God is the one that's going to act on the mountain, then your faith isn't in your faith. The faith is in your God. It ain't nothing for God to move the mountain. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's why God told Zerubbabel, who he gave an assignment, it was too big for him to handle. And he looked at the mountain of circumstance and opposition to what God had revealed as his will. But once God wills it and he discovers it, and he's telling God what a big mountain of opposition and circumstance, God talks back to him and said, the mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain, not by might nor power, but by my spirit. Send the bulldozers back, put down your shovel, and keep trusting God. Don't you know that was a load off of that man? Don't you know he found rest in the Lord? Don't you know that he knew, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know that God's got it. And that's all I need to know. And it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Oh, some of you are gripping the steering wheel. I want what I want. I tell you how childish it is. And we prayed for this young lady. She had just gotten saved, her and her husband. About 6 weeks before this evangelistic meeting that we all attended, she's coming back with another family. He preached on the soon coming of Jesus. Everybody's excited about Jesus coming. And she's sad, sitting in the back seat, sad sack. Said, my husband just got a raise. We were able to purchase a brand new home. I'm going to use Haverty's as an example instead of Rooms to Go. Amen. Said, so we just got a truckload of furniture from Haverty's. We just got a brand new kitchen. We got everything redone in our house. And he said Jesus could come back tomorrow. We won't even get to enjoy our blessing. And everybody says, wow. Don't you get it? There ain't nothing down here compared with what's waiting up there. Everything here's going to pass away. But they that are of the flesh, she hadn't graduated. The flesh was still dominant. When I was a child, what? I thought as a child. I spake as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. Can you say, man, Hanabarosha, take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't turn back. Oh, I don't need trinkets down here to keep me following him. The cross is enough. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen to me carefully. This is where it goes awry. Because the shield of faith, as it's defined only by the new covenant, is your faith being built to such a high level. That is not the shield of faith in the new covenant. Can you say amen? Somebody put it on the top shelf. God did not. It said above all, and we just think of something high. I want you to understand the Greek didn't say above all. It says in addition to the rest of it. Come on. If you want to give your faith your glory, you're going to elevate faith above love and faith above God. And the power's in you and in your words, not in him and his word. And when that happens, we got a bunch of people disappointed, disillusioned, running around thinking they don't have enough faith when the Bible said if you get faith in the right perspective, you don't need a lot. If you have it as a grain of mustard seed, mountains are going to move that are in your way. Hallelujah. 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 The believer's authority is not a carte blanche. It's not a blank check. God has to write the check. You endorse it by faith. It says what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. The actual Greek says what you bind on earth has to be already bound in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven first. And then in the earth. Can you say amen? So what God wills from heaven and we discover and pray from earth, then faith is honored by God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Faith is not to get what you want. Faith is to get what he wills. Praise God. Hallelujah. When the church grows up and quits trying to get what she wants and starts praying. Can you see six mothers that are into hyper faith and their children in middle school are running in track, and six mothers are praying and believing and confessing that their child is going to win the blue ribbon. Now, God has a dilemma, doesn't he? Six people got their faith. Who's going to win? Well, the one with the most faith. No, no, no. He's probably going to let it really foul up, and they'll stumble over their own shoelaces because they're wanting it for their own glory. Ain't nothing to do with his glory. It's me and mine. Thou, O Lord. Say it with me. Thou, O Lord. Art a shield for me. If he's the shield, then the shield of faith has got to be our trust in Him and His faithfulness. Can you say amen? If He is the shield, then the shield of faith is not just our faith, it's the faithfulness of our Father to care for us, protect us, and defend us. Because Thou hast made, Psalm 91, say it with me. Because Thou hast made the Lord thy God thy habitation, and under His wings thou art come to trust. Thou shalt not be afraid. Hallelujah. Of the Arab by fire by day, nor the pestilence, the Ebola that wasteth at noonday. Hey, there's two Christian missionaries that survived Ebola. How come? God did it. Give Him some glory. Give Him some credit. Oh, hallelujah. Nor the pestilence, nor the plague, for it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Nor the arrow that flieth by day. Listen. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee, because thou hast such great faith. No, because thou hast such a faithful God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Because thou hast made the Lord thy God thy habitation, and under His wings thou art come to trust. Amen. Under whose wings? See, these people with that hyper faith, they don't need His wings to cover them. You know what Jesus told Jerusalem about His wings of protection? They didn't have to suffer the defeat they suffered if they had accepted Him as their Messiah and King. He saw what was coming to that city out from under God's covering. And He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times would I have taken you under my wing as a mother hen does her chicks? I do not have a problem with running to God. Running to God is not running from the devil." Amen. These are people with courage that run to God. But it's people that understand it's His covering that keeps us safe. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. So the shield of faith against the devil can't just be our faith. Because if our faith wavers, the fiery darts come through and we are done for. Can you say amen? But if our faith is in God's faithfulness, He never wavers. Can you say amen? And He says to the weak, to them that hath no strength, no strength in themselves, to them that have no strength in themselves, He grants strength. Paul said, you know something? This thing that I prayed that He'd take from me weakened me down until I had to depend on Him with everything I am and everything I have. Depend on Him. For when I am weak and I do that, then am I made strong to them that hath no might and acknowledge it. And look to Him. He increases strength. So the prancing little banny rooster that has become rich and famous and thinks that everybody can live at some pinnacle mountaintop and chides everybody that isn't on that mountaintop and tells people that are struggling, you can't expect God to help you until you get up here on this mountaintop with me. Man ought to throw you a rope. And the rope ought to be Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Looking to Jesus. Who is who? The author, the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. They even twisted the scripture that says have faith in God. And they twisted it and turned it around and reinterpreted and said, because see, we go, what's to take you out of that place of trust and dependence, and said, have the faith of God. I've got the God kind of faith. What I say is just as creative. And one of them's wife, bless her dear heart, she teaches also. Same stuff, same junky stuff. She said, we've got such power with our words. And she was reading something out of the scripture in one town, and she read it, and it really, excited her. She said, that just blows me away. Uh-oh. A month later, at another convention in another town, the convention hall they were in, they heard the sirens go off because a tornado was coming. And she taught in the next service. In other words, when you get to this place of faith and you've got this kind of God kind of faith and God kind of power, she thought she created weather. That the tornado came because she said, "That blows me away." And she just about got blew away. I agree, there was weather, hot air. See, we're looking for a prophet. We're looking for a prophetess. We're looking for someone that can speak over us, speak over us. We're not looking to the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something, the Logos in the Greek, rendering of the Aramaic, which goes all the way back to the Hebrew, it wasn't just about how holy the words are on the page or how true they were. It's about a person who spoke those words. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the Logos, I am the truth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of glory and grace." Hallelujah. Now, I am crossing a lot of people here today. I mean to, because if you got that kind of faith, you need to notify your face. Is that okay with you? Don't look at me with that old long face and tell me, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about." Well, show me. Show me your faith without works. Come in with victory. Come in shouting. Come in believing. Come in declaring, "All my needs are met. I am need of nothing." Don't give me that hard look after you watch that on TV. We need a Holy Ghost revival. We don't need a bunch of holy hype. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If God is my shield and my glory and the lifter of my head, then I can rest, Brother Taylor. I can lay my head down and sleep and give it to God and wake up and find out, guess what? God came through. Because I bound up and... Guy came to our church, he didn't know how much God loved him. He couldn't rest. Because when you got a deliverance ministry and you don't balance it with the love of God, you're more aware of demons than you are of angels. Thank you for the hearty amen. And people that always talk in demons and devils, they have no joy. They have no peace. They can't get it. You can't get it by dwelling on the devil. They don't have it, do they? You know some of those folk. I went in that church and I felt the devil. Well, of course he's here. He's the first one in, the last one to leave. Amen? What happens when the Word of God is sown? Immediately the devil comes try to steal it. He's right here now. He wants you thinking about anything but what the Bible says. He's here. I like what Martin Luther did. He said, he didn't dwell on demons and devils, but he acknowledged, like me, they're real. He said one day he woke out of a dead sleep, and there was something in the room, and he looked up, and there he was. Some demonic entity, maybe it wasn't the devil, one of his minions, and I'm not talking about the little yellow guys from Despicable Me. Can you say amen? And you know what he did? He jumped out of bed with, "No." He said, "Oh, it's you." And turned over, went to sleep. I laid me down and slept. I awoke. Devil didn't kill me. Nobody hurt me in the night. He didn't sneak up on me and jump on me. And playing on those fears, one evangelist made a lot of money because you could get... Remember when the Star Wars swords came out, when Star Wars movie came out years and years ago? You hold it up to a light, and it was made out of the kind of plastic. Take it in a dark room. Who's your daddy? Or something like that. I don't know. Just something Darth Vader thing. Luke, who's your daddy, Luke? Who's your daddy now? So he come up with a fluorescent cross, Sean, and for, you know, a huge donation, because you've got to keep the devil off of you while you sleep, because he'll creep up on you and jump right on you. You know. You wake up in the morning, that bed all tore up and your back hurting. Yeah, he was there. Y'all wrestled all night long. Listen, and it wasn't the devil, it's all that wrestling, amen, that got your back out of joint. Anyway, this little cross, and you take the cross, and you hold it up to your lamp just before you go to sleep. And then you cut out the light, and you look over to that nightstand, and there's this cross. It only glows for about 10 minutes. And you can just see the devil outside the door say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Uh-oh. Oh, it's okay. They'll be asleep in 7 or 8 minutes. Yeah, there they go. Paid $50, got their illuminated cross sitting over there on the counter. The evangelist driving. This evangelist was driving, listen, Sean, a Lamborghini. Come on, he'd surpass Cadillac and Rolls Royce. He sold a lot of plastic crosses. Amen. To people bound by fear. Amen. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I spake as a child when I became a man. So the devil waits until that thing kind of goes. No. See, the devil don't have to wait. He's not afraid of a plastic cross that glows in the dark. This is not shock theater. Come on. Amen. When the old vampire comes in, what do? You grab a cross and say, he slaps it out of your hand and jumps on you anyway. You know, this is not, amen, a horror movie. Amen. This is a spiritual reality. You know the cross he fears? The one that was on top of that hill called Golgotha. And what happened on that cross? Can you say, amen, in the blood that was shed on that old hill that sprinkled not only the ground in Jerusalem, but sprinkled the mercy seat in heaven? Can you say, amen, and declared victory and freedom to those that would put their trust in Jesus Christ? And the day you trust Him as your Savior and get truly saved, you are translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Can you say, amen? Marvelous light. Praise God. So this guy got in our service with he'd never heard about the love of God, and he heard about the love of God, and he melted. His heart melted. He began to get that balance. So you're not just always dealing with fear, but a real balanced faith. And he came up after the service, tears streaming. I thought he'd come to get saved. He was so broken. Amen. No, he was already saved. He said, Pastor, I want to thank you. I'd never seen the true love of Christ until tonight. I didn't know the love of God until tonight. All he knew was demons and devils and fear and intimidation. But he felt now kept. Hallelujah. Sean, you said it. God can do these things, can He? You said it right in the midst of the harshest part of one of your trials. You put on a Christian song. And you said it didn't just go into your head. God did something as your focus went up to Him out of your weakness. It said, you said, He just took me in His arms. I remember when you wrote me that in email, He took me in His arms. He took me in His arms. Honey, I want you to know, standing out there just depending on your power and your faith, amen, is a dangerous thing. Can you say amen? But when He's upholding you with the right hand of His righteousness, taking you in His arms, hallelujah, so holding you so close you can hear His heartbeat, feet. Amen. You can be like Paul and look death and the grave right in the eye and say, death, where's your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thou, O Lord, art a shield. Say it with me. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory. And the lifter of my head. Glory to God. When you see the shield of faith in the New Testament, will you think of thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, and put your trust in God, not in your faith. God will see you through. God will pull you through. God is faithful. He watches over his word to perform it. And he that keepeth Israel. You never have to wake him up to your need. Hallelujah. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. Can you say amen? Got to say one more thing. It's a little nugget. I got to make some bullets for... They want me to give some 4 to 5 minute something others that I haven't figured out yet. But they want me to send an email to put on the radio. I'll help you help me figure it out, and I'll try to get her to email me. I don't know what I can do in 4 to 5 minutes. My bullets are big bullets. But I'll do my best. Pray that it's blessed. God will take care of the rest. Amen. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Praise God. When Jesus said, where is your faith? In the midst of that storm that was so bad, this time he's not walking water. The boat's taking on water. And Jesus is asleep. They're in his will. They're going where he wants. So he's not worried about it. He just laid back, waiting for them to put their trust in him. They think that those boys, without him, should have walked up there like they say they can do. I'd love to get them in St. Jude's Hospital. Because those kids, if anybody deserves getting up and getting out of there, it's that little blue-eyed, bald-headed 8-year-old that has the tumor. I'd love to get them in there. Come on, bring it in there. You got all that authority. What you say, come on in here. Please, if you got it, do something worthwhile with it. Don't just show us your mansion and your Lamborghini. Come on, let's help these people. For God's sake, let's help these people. Can you say amen? Hold on, I don't want that kind of junk stuff. Do you? I don't want that. I don't want my way. I want his will. Hallelujah. So they come, and here's what they did. They shook him. They shook him. And they woke him up. And they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? And he looked back at them and said, where's your faith? And people in the hyper faith group, you know what they do with that scripture? You should have went out there and told that water to be still. I know it's going to be with you. You're going to have to start talking to the water. You know what he was addressing? Don't you care? His watch care. His love. They were questioning. Where's your faith in what? Faith to stop the storm or faith that God was in control? And God loved them. And God would provide. And God would prevail. Do you see the difference? Because what did he do? Did he tell them to go out there and teach them how to talk to the wind and waves? No. He walked out there then. I'm so glad. I'm so glad when God takes up the battle. And I just watch him work. Can you say amen in the name of Jesus? He walked out there. And he said, peace, be still. And immediately, it wasn't a ceasing of the wind while the waves that were driven by the wind were still billowing. When he said, it said both the wind and the waves obeyed him. The wind stopped and the waves at the same time. And it brought glory to who? Jesus. What manner of man is this? That's reserved for God, not for us. That kind of glory only goes to Him, not some preacher or evangelist or prophetess or somebody else. Not Peter or John or James. This is reserved for Christ. Hallelujah. The Creator spoke to creation, not the created speaking to creation. That even the wind and the waves obey Him. He has to be God incarnate, because no man, no matter how heavily anointed, has that kind of authority and power. Can you say, man, it's reserved for one? And I, for one, am glad. Because when the trouble comes, my trust is in that one. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up Jesus tall inside of me and in my sight. Praise God. And He's the standard to defend us. We need a revival in America. We don't need to show how much stuff we can accumulate with our faith. Because if the doctor examines you and finds a tumor that's inoperable, you can't hold up your checkbook any further. You can't drag out your gold and silver and your stuff. There's only one that can help you. And you need your faith in Him now and not your stuff. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't tell me how to gain wealth of the world. That's what Satan offered Jesus. He said, but the day you go after the wealth of the world, I become your God. Your worship comes to me. It's indirect, but it goes to the same place. They that are of the flesh cannot please God. To be carnally minded, and if we're only talking about this material world, that's about as carnal as you can get, is death, spiritual death. But to be spiritually minded, here it is. Listen to the, it's life and it's peace. It's peace. It's peace. It's peace. Glory to God. David found peace when he put his faith in God's promise to protect and deliver him. And he exhibited that peace when he said, I laid me down and I slept. And I woke up and I wasn't dead. Hallelujah. I just read the obituary and my name wasn't in it. Glory be to God. 10,000 trying to find me and kill me, but God defended me. And that was the beginning of the obliteration of that force that came against him and the reestablishment of David as the rightful king of Israel. And he died with a testimony. These be the last words of the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, a man that God said was after his own heart. Hallelujah. Are you ready to build your faith in the faithfulness of your God? And demonstrate it by resting on Him and in Him. Will you take that shield into battle? Will you take that shield into battle? Hallelujah. I'll take that shield into battle. And when the battle's over, Dale, we shall wear a crown. Can you say, man, we will obtain the victory? Will you stand to your feet today? Hallelujah. Do you have that? Yes. Praise God. Anyone here without Christ today and you need the Lord? Anyone in this room? Anyone in this room? I don't want you to take this wrong. I need people in my life. God designed us to be dependent on Him and interdependent on one another. But when I was in the floor having a stroke, Brother Taylor, nobody in this room, nobody in my home. When they put me in the back of that ambulance, my wife wasn't there to hold my hand. My youngest son, who sounded the alarm, Dad's in the kitchen, he's on the floor. He can't move, can't hardly speak. My youngest son was not there. No one in this building was in the back of that ambulance with me. The man who was in the back giving me oxygen and taking my vital signs, he was busy talking to the hospital about a stroke victim to get ready to receive a stroke victim. Giving my age that he'd got from my wife and my vital signs. But there was somebody with me. And he gave me peace. And it's a peace that no one can give but him. And I want to point people to the one that when the chips are all down will be there with you. Who said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will go with you all of the way. That mighty shield quenches every fiery dart of the wicked one. Hallelujah. Because that kind of faith will not fail you when the pressure is on, because it's faith in the faithful one. What did you come to have him do today? Do you know him as your Savior? You do. But you want a relationship with him that'll give you that peace that you know that he's with me. In other words, you want to follow him. You want to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Christ. When young people make these kind of commitments, it thrills me, because the peer pressure to follow the trends of this world and the people of this world is so very strong. And the only reason you would want to do that is because he's calling you. And why he's calling you close to himself is so he can take those wings we're talking about and just wrap them right down around you, so that you don't have to be afraid of all of those things, scary things in this old fallen world. Because we used to sing the song, I have somebody with me to share my heavy load. I feel his presence near me every day. Though trouble overtake me on life's weary road, I have somebody with me all the way. Hallelujah. Let's pray for young men and women to commit to follow Christ, to get close to him in the midst of a secular world, a secularized culture and society where God is being constantly pushed out. Amen. There are those that are inviting him in. And when he has that invitation, he made the promise. If any man open the door of that heart, I will come in. I will sup with him and him with me. And when we're in fellowship with God and walking with God, amen, those fears are dispelled. Amen. Fear has to flee. Father, I pray for my sister today and your daughter in the name of Jesus, that she would come to know you in a mature relationship. Lord, that she can cast her burdens upon you, cast her cares upon you, trust in you to guide her and lead her through life. Father, in the name of Jesus, give her that great peace in her heart. Give her that power and strength within by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I just ask, in order for that peace and power to come, that you fill her with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Just fill her up until she overflows in the name of Jesus Christ today, and for the glory and the honor of God the Father. And I thank you for her, and I thank you for her open heart to you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Holy Spirit, I thank you today for resting upon her all the days of her life. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name and indwelling her. Somebody give him praise in this room. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Let's have this song of praise before we leave today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.